Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
There's no comedy club out there.
Isn't there?
Well, it's the West Side. Yeah, the West Side.
Yeah, the West Side.
But no, it was over by the promenade. It was Ye Olde King's Head Pub.
Oh, yeah. You know, can I tell you a funny story about that place?
No.
When I first got my fake ID when I was 14 years old.
You got a fake ID at 14?
14 years old. Yep.
You're dirty.
I was 14 years old. Like, nah. No. I was playing video games, yeah. Watching wrestling.
I was actually having fun.
Hey, that is fun.
Clubs are awful.
Dude, you know what? Can I tell you what my name was?
What?
Desmond Thomas.
Oh, was it a profile picture or a full on?
No, it was a full on picture. And dude, it was so shady. You have to.
Were
go
you
like,
look? Did you look like an old 14-year-old?
No, of course not. But you, as long as you had an ID that.
I know where Alvaro is.
So you ever see the guys that like? You'll see like some Mexican guys are just like walking around holding. It looks like a driver's license, but it's just like in the air. They'll just walk around with that for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. That's where
that
you
means,
go.
Yeah, that's where you go to get them. And then they'll take you to some shady photo lab, and it looks like a
straight up. And
you're
down there at 14 doing this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And your parents are listening right now.
My parents are listening. They know. They know the whole story now. But they didn't know then. But the funny thing is.
They would have tore you
up. We went into this, like, photo lab that looked like a legit photo lab, and, like, all of a sudden, like, they just closed the door, and then they.
Braden had kids.
Early, right?
Early. Or now they're in their 40s and they're single and they're still going out and drinking like they did when they were in college.
Yeah, that happens.
There's two things that happen. It's like that was the two things that happened. You either got married and had kids or you just kept trying to be 21 again.
Well, and that's the sad thing because you don't want to just spend the rest of your life just like, no.
There's more to life than.
Used it for a couple years.
So you were Desmond.
I was Desmond at for this a while. Point. Oh, yeah. And I had so committed. Much confidence using it. So I went to Dodger Stadium. I actually bought two or three beers at this same place. And then I got cocky as I was drinking, and I went to a different beer guy or girl. And this girl was just total, stick up the butt. And
or the one smart person.
She was probably the one. I coerced my older brother. I said, dude, you got to give me your expired ID. I'm like, it'll always work for me. And so it did. It always
worked. Even though it was expired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It worked all the time. Never failed.
God.
So big shout out to my older brother, dude. Jeez. Yeah, I know. Pretty crazy. Ooh, easy studio audience. I know. You never had any stories like that? You never like snuck out of bed early? I mean, not early, but late.
I did stuff. I don't.
What?
I don't.
What's? Give me some antic.
We were gonna light the bottle rockets up, but we didn't have a bottle.
What? So what did you use?
A cup.
Oh, that's terrible.
Cup's got a big mouth.
Yeah.
And so the bottle rocket lays almost sideways. But we're like 13, and we just wanted to light this thing off, and it's like 1 a.m. And so we climb up on the roof of the. We built like a 3-story fort with like all this wood. So we got to the top of the 3-story fort. It was an eyesore, and we put it in the red cup, and it was full of sleep. That's all it is. And so we're like in the – and the garden hose does not stretch all the way to the other neighbor's yard. So we're like trying to do this arcing rainbow of water onto this huge fire circle. And then the worst part of the story was, all right, the man's who owned the house, his daughter came out. She was older. Let my friend sit there and take all the punishment.
Oh, my God, that sucks.
Oh, yeah. It was But, like, my dad didn't even question. Like, we come running home. Like, we're like, hey, Dad, let's go see Grandma right now. West Virginia right now for a week. He's like, okay, let's pack up.
Just have you ever told him the truth?
I think they found out later on.
What about that other kid's parents? They didn't call the
kids? We just let him take the whole wrath of that situation.
Whatever happened to him? Did he tell you? He was just like, guys, it was
he got
so
in trouble.
Bad.
He got in pretty big trouble. He got grounded, and we weren't allowed to play with him. He wasn't allowed to play with us for a while.
Well, that's hilarious.
So there's an antic.
I can't wait till you come in with, like, dude, a Colton antic. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that's going to be, like, years away.
He knows how to say it.
You're like, thank you.
My people.
You're like, just gringo it up, man. It's wide line. I will remember that.
There you go.
Daniel's actually playing with us in October, so I will announce it correctly. That's really easy to remember.
Where are you guys playing in October?
We're playing at Mozambique in Laguna Beach. Really awesome, awesome club.
Yeah,
really
he told cool me place. We were talking before the show started. He played Summerfest with you guys this
he
year.
Did. Dude, I'm going to give this guy so much props, right? Yeah, so, like,
my God.
No, you're not 2003. I'm 2001, so you had to have been, like, yeah, 2012.
We would have crossed over.
That's right. That's true. But Daniel, like, he came up to me. He was like, hey, man, if you ever need somebody to play. I was like, yeah, man, I'm always looking for players. And I knew the caliber of players at USC. Like, the guys at USC, really, you know, as I know, there's a real serious caliber of musicians that go to that school. So there was a parade. We had to walk into a parade. Everybody got split up. Nobody knew if we were going to be able to cross the street.
We were also this massive parade that goes through the entire city. And we're on one side of the parade, and we're looking at the hotel that we have to perform in an hour.
Yes.
On the other side of the parade, and there is no way
equipment
to
cross and everything.
Everything.
And there's no way to cross.
And there's no way to cross the street. We're watching, and we're all watching about everything except for that little variable. Nobody said, like, hey, by the way, come early because it's Chinese New Year. Nobody said anything like that. So, anyways, Daniel came. Just slayed the gig, and I was just like, okay, I'm always going to use this cat. And then when Zane passed away, you know, that was our first show having a saxophonist back, with having us all play together. And, man, you just, yeah. One of which has produced a lot of artists. So talk to me about, first, how you got into music. Tell us what got you the bug, and tell us all about all your adventures in music.
Sure, man. I've had the bug since I have memory of things.
That's good.
Yeah, my parents had a piano in the house, and neither of them really played, but they are big music appreciators.
So they just had it.
I was writing music. And
that's crazy.
I'm sure it sounded terrible. But
that's, well, you never know.
I don't know.
Someone's better than a lot of pop music today.
Which we're both trying to write.
Yeah, exactly.
But the saxophone, my mom had a really good friend whose son was like 6 years older than me, and he started playing saxophone. I just wanted to be like him.
You're like, dude, what is that?
And it was a store word.
That's commitment. And dude, she probably was like, I should have got it from like, son of a bitch. He could have been paying our bills by now.
You remembered that?
First day, you were like,
I'm pretty sure it was the first day of school.
That's amazing. That's a great story, yeah. Honestly. So you started with alto, I assume?
I started with alto. Tenor was still too big.
Tenor, like, I wanted to start with alto, and everybody took the alto saxophone. Saxophone, just so you know, is, to me, he's like, you really want to play that? I'm like, I do. I like it. And it's just like, burr, burr, this sucks. I'm not good. It's heavy. I can't even pick it up. My dad's like, maybe you should try the clarinet. I was like, all right, I'll try the clarinet. So you got lucky. You were blessed with the alto sax.
I went to summer camp one summer, I think in, like, eighth grade. And I got to play with the high school kids in the, like, high school big band, which was cool. But I was the youngest one, so they made me.
I don't even know how you do that, really.
We'll give the saxophone master class another day.
You're like, it's actually about the embouchure. And So you got way into tenor. You got way into alto. What's your favorite out of all the three?
It depends on the style of music.
Right.
I play them both. I play all the saxophones. I still play Barry.
You play flute, too?
I play flute.
Oh. definitely cooler. Yeah. Well, what's your favorite instrument out of those, Eddie?
Out of all of those? I don't really have one.
Choose saxophone.
Saxophone.
It's definitely the sexiest. It's the sexiest instrument.
There you go. Saxophone.
I'm glad we agree.
So you did jazz band, I assume, in high school and all of that? Did you have a teacher that kind of was like on your ass, like, you could be something if you just apply yourself?
It's like Whiplash.
You were taught by Bill Cosby?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Speaking of, have you seen the movie Whiplash?
No, I haven't.
Daniel's in the movie.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, huh. How did you get into that? Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, it's the USC connection, man. We run deep in this town. And they went through all...
Sorry.
Wrong.
Why'd you give a boner sound effect for USC?
Because you just set it up like, we run deep.
I'm surprised you don't just have the fight song ready to go.
I should. Next time. All right, so go ahead.
Some FUCLA kind of, you know.
That's right. I'll work on that.
Yeah. So they went through their normal casting And some of them were in the band, but they were like, we need some... I mean, we weren't playing live for the most part. There are some moments you actually can hear me playing in the, like, warm-up scenes.
Yeah.
But all the actual, like, music in the movie was pre-recorded. But they still wanted to be able to focus and make it look
real. Like it was real. Yeah.
So I didn't even audition. I just got recommended by somebody at USC who knew the casting director, and they're like, this guy can play. Sent in a headshot. That was it.
And you didn't even know what the movie was.
I had no idea, and I'm like,
that's Queens. Because the band
major
scenes,
ones.
I was, and then there were a couple band concert stuff. But like the rehearsals for the band stuff were like the big major scenes.
Yeah.
You had some major FaceTime.
It was cool. I mean, they shot the whole film in 17 days, and I think I was on set for 7 or 8 of them. So.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you watched that movie just grow into... being nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, by the time I had finished on set, I was like, this is going to be cool. And, you know, it was Blumhouse doing it, and they've been cleaning up lately and after I got there.
Okay.
But they were sort of, like, starting to put it together while I was there. So I was involved, and I played with a lot of the pop kids. And the program's actually changed a lot just since I graduated in a couple of years.
In what
originally,
ways?
So there was the jazz program, and they started the pop program, and there was a separate studio jazz guitar program, which we both know people who've been through. Yep. And then there was the music business program.
Well, damn it! So, real quick, let's play something that you what are you going to set up? What's the first clip we're playing? Do you know, Eddie?
You might have to tell me.
What's
I don't remember
going on?
What I... Okay, this
Where
is cool.
Where do you fall
so,
from...
Yeah, yeah, let's do What's Going On. This is cool. This is a tune that people know, but in a very different way. So I've been writing with and producing this awesome guy, and it's much more commercially viable. So we've actually been, just in the past, like, 4 months, really rebranding everything and writing new music, and we're really close to the end of it. We have an album pretty much ready to go now.
That's awesome.
I'm flying out to New York tomorrow to shoot.
Is he from New York? Is
he grew up here.
Okay.
He grew up in Palos Verdes, but we kind of go back and forth a little bit.
That's
right.
Awesome.
Now we're going to do we just felt like we needed to put it out, and cool. We put out this recording. It's a cover of What's Going On, Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Here we go.
Sam the Eagle.
It's very solemn. It's just very. Well, it's...
You were very much like, yeah,
got a lot of stuff going on.
No. You know what? It was like an emotional. It was emotional.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful song, and when it came out, when it did, it was supposed to be this very uplifting way of saying.
I got to tell you, it was a pretty fresh outlook on that song because you slowed it down. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it was very stripped down and very like. It almost like gave me more. Not visual, but it just gave me more focus on the words. Did you feel like that?
Yeah.
You know, like, because the other song, it's like a party song.
That's
it's like,
I mean, I don't ever want to say anything bad about Marvin because
I love
Marvin.
Yeah.
But I came up with kind of the first generation of people that had access to GarageBand.
Right.
And when GarageBand first came out, my dad had a Mac in his office, and I was like,
Let me have this.
Everything. Right. And I spent so much time on GarageBand. And then early on in high school, my friend and I made the worst terrible joke rap album ever.
I should have brought that in.
He's old school.
I also never paid for it.
So. For me, production is like the modern way of composing a symphony. You know?
Yeah,
you have infinite number of instruments at your disposal now with electronic instruments and stuff. And my approach to production is really trying to take my jazz background and my love for acoustic instruments into the pop and electric world. But you just have an infinite symphony at your fingertips, and being a producer is no longer just about getting a bunch of guys in the room and letting...
You'll be the producer, I'll be the artist, that's the role.
So this new project, we're really trying to... I mean, he's not a producer, so I still take on that role, and he's still a better singer than I could ever dream of being. But other than that, we're really trying to blur the lines of who's doing what and really just present ourselves as this duo project. We're starting to call it In Body, which will be cool.
Hey.
Yeah. It's got
late night.
All kinds of nice connotations.
Less attention to detail. It's a lazier approach to things. And you don't have that. So I wanted to ask you about that.
That.
No, because it's the truth.
It's hard. In that, I really take pride in that, and I appreciate you noticing it. But it's also, you know, I see people around me, and even people I went to school with, where things happen overnight, and it's such a roulette game. But of that work, worth it, because you don't find those things if you're just putting in the minimum of effort to put something
out. Very true. Let's play something else. What's the next setup?
Where do you fall, or Save Her, Ryan?
Let's play Save Her.
Okay.
This is cool. This is another song. This was on his EP that was still under his name. This is the last project that will be solely under his name.
Okay.
We released it in October. And we actually wrote this song. He really thinks of himself as somebody beyond labels and could be into a woman or could be. And he's just trying to push labels away from him as much as possible.
Right.
So we gave this really cool TED Talk that had music interspersed. And we'll play the other song that's more pertinent to that in a minute.
Cool.
But anyway, he got flown out to headline the Brisbane Pride Festival in Australia last September, and decided to take advantage of Cousins Groove to it.
Cool, I like that.
You'll see.
And he's like, that's my jam. Prologic style.
And what's it called?
Save Her.
Save Her.
A work of art. What a perfect system be. What a precious gift is she. Just a seed of all her work, with mountains left to learn. So please save her. Can settle the storm. Ooh, she's a grand design. But when we cut her right through, her blood runs dry. What a mess, a perfect soil. What a waste of her precious child. Offering
Studio audience, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
they give the same amount of applause every time.
They don't
time.
Eat up a lot of time either.
Just silence.
Very succinct.
That little pause in there that got all like
it did its job.
Like, what happened? What happened?
Like, what?
I was like, Eddie, what did you push? And Eddie looked at me like, what did I just push?
What did I do?
You really did give me that look, Eddie. You looked at me like
I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I knew you were going to yell at me. And I was like, I didn't do anything.
That's exactly what we wanted. You're just like in this groove all of a sudden. Yeah. And then it's just like,
and then it's like, what the
up,
fuck? Man. Oh, yeah, that's cool. No, I like that. But I definitely thought it was Eddie's fault.
Yeah. I was prepared to defend myself.
And you were so cool.
We're gonna play this on, like, live, and just every time it goes, Eddie, come on, Eddie.
You son of a...
What did you do?
You're ruining it.
It's like that scene in Tommy Boy.
What'd you do?
What did you do? That's the best line.
They're out of gas.
Oh, man, that's crazy. So funny. No, it's really cool. I love the drum groove. The drum groove was great. Bridge was insane. Great singer. Great fucking production. Sorry. That was the first F-bomb. Your parents are like, and I thought this show was going to be so clean.
Oh, no, it's cool. I forgot it was radio. I was like, here comes the FCC.
No, there's no rules here.
No rules. We live a renegade lifestyle. Yeah.
We've done nudity. It's there's no rules.
So tell us what's next with this artist that you're producing.
Yeah, so it's interesting. We have a manager now, and he's also a young guy, which is actually really fun because he's really passionate about working with us to try to find new ways to approach stuff with this industry because it's all a mess anyway. But the goal is, with this whole rebranding thing, is not to release anything independently. And we've both been doing independent releases for a long time. And I think we're trying to take a little bit of an exclusivity angle, and we've got a bunch of meetings lined up with studios and labels. And
that's
we're
going to
see what. Yeah, we're really excited. We got pretty much our entire October is just going to be
all
meetings with labels.
That sounds fun and also not so fun.
It's not going to be so fun, but we're really excited.
No, no, it's like, exciting for the prospects, but it's also there's a lot of bullshit in those meetings.
Yeah, there is.
And it's like, as artists, we all know it's like you're in it to create and be excited about what you're creating, and then you come across this babble online where it's like, it's all smoke and mirrors and bullshit promises. Like,
yeah.
And you're like, who am I? Who are these schmucks am I going to commit an amount of time and a contract to that's going to take us to the top? You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So it is exciting.
And it's
that
much
exciting.
Harder. We've been talking with some people already, and people are responding really well to the new stuff. It's has a lot of the same sensibilities about things, but is way more poppy, like radio friendly,
like relevant and current.
Yeah, and we're trying to be a little less heavy-handed with the messages, while still saying some real
stuff.
Let's
play that song that you were talking. You were referring to. You said something was relevant about this song.
Oh, so yeah, this other one, and this is the one that's gotten a lot of press on HuffPo and stuff. And we made a music video that goes along with it, which is really cool. You should check it out. You just type in Spectrum on YouTube, Ryan Amador Spectrum. This
spell
is the
out
last
Ryan
thing.
Amador real
it's
quick.
It's Ryan Amador, Amador. Or if you type in the Spectrum of Sexuality, it pops right up. And it's just a song about getting rid of labels, and the music video is super cool. It's straight couples and gay couples and couples that fall somewhere in between. Hard to describe
that's
without
that's
looking
right
at
right where Eddie falls.
What's going on here?
Eddie by himself. It's all them in a bed, and it just keeps cutting between them in the same bed, all just being coupley
cool
and
idea.
Just having fun and singing along to the song. It's great.
All right, let's play this. Cool. What's it called?
It's called Spectrum.
Joe, try it out.
Just go with it.
Where do you fall on the spectrum of sexuality? Of sexuality. Where do you fall on the spectrum of sexuality? Of sexuality. And I can truly swear that every love I share is a real thing. Yeah, man, it's a good thing. And it's buried deep. Oh, it's a part of me. It's a true thing. It's inside of me. And everyone loves someone regardless of their gender. So why would you think there's some agenda? And everyone loves a man and woman somewhere. So why would you think there's nothing there? Oh, where do you fall? On the spectrum of sexuality, of sexuality. Where do you fall on the spectrum of sexuality, of sexuality?
What in nature moves linearly, planets and seasons move circularly. What in nature is really black or white? Flowers and twilight share every shade of light.
Every man loves a man, every woman loves a woman. So why would you think that love's inhuman?
A gift from the powers on high. It gets rid of pain when you can't get by. And when you're facing terror, you're scared for your life. Love is something great that can make you right. And it's a colder world if you can't love who you want. Take it from yourself to choose your love. No, I don't want to see the same old script. It's like every child starts to be the same old kid. I like to think of my God as an artist to paint me with a palette of multi-chromatic. So let's systematically remove the dogma. There's more than two ways that we can reach a climax. And on the spectrum of your sex, sexuality. Let's find respect for individuality. This train's a coming like it was in the 60s. So hop on the scale, we can weigh you like Kansas.
Where do you fall on the spectrum of sexuality? Of sexuality. Where do you fall on the spectrum of sexuality? Of sexuality. Sexuality, where do you fall on the spectrum of sexuality, of sexuality?
Yeah, very nice. Daniel Wideline. One more time. Why don't you just announce who were the special guests on that track and then
yeah, so that was Ryan Amador, his song. The girl that you heard, her name's Jo Lampert. She's one of the backup singers for Toon Yards, if you know the band Toon Yards. And then the rapper, I wrote the rap, but I'm too white to do
yeah.
it. So our good friend Jassy Ross was the rapper.
And where can everybody find you? What are your websites?
So everything is just my name. Daniel, that's easy. Wideline, the German way. If you know German,
well,
it's
spell,
easy.
Weidlein. Weidlein.
There you go.
And what are you going to play us out? Where are you going to play us out?
I'm just going to play you a little bit of a tune that's on my Jazz Trios record that I actually started writing in high school. The melody came to me in high school,
that's
but
awesome.
Then we like put it on the record later, and it's called Three Ring Circus.
Cool. Here it is. Thank you. Beautiful, Daniel Weitling. On behalf of
all that, Weitling.
Weitling.
Right. Weitling. Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry.
All right. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.